All right, guys, we're going to start off in 1 Timothy, chapter number 2. We're going to talk some about our gospel, the salvation, and we're also going to talk about being saved from something. All right, so we're going to start, and we're going to take turns reading this, how I like to do things here, so everybody participates. So 1 Timothy, chapter 2. Sarah, why don't you go ahead and read verses 3, 4, and 5 for us.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
All right, so Sarah, what is good and acceptable to the Lord?
To be saved and come into the knowledge
of the truth. Awesome, awesome. So that's what God's purpose in our lives is, for people, for all mankind, to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So that's his purpose in life. And we go about sharing, all of us at this table are saved, and we go about sharing, and sometimes it gets very uncomfortable to share with people because we know them. I think it's sometimes easier to share with strangers than it is with family and friends and all that. So you get a little uncomfortable. So, you know, it's just best to just let the words be the words on the page. And I thank God for all the people at this table, Rich and the young adults that we're starting to do classes with. That's our next generation. We need to really encourage these young adults. There's four of them at the table. They were all young, by the way, but the four young adults at the table, we need to encourage them. That's our next generation, and it's an honor. I know Rich feels the same way, to teach them. And actually, I think I'm learning more from them than they are from me. So, but anyway, and the one thing about sharing is, and I've talked to several pastors and the old church we used to go to, I've been warned, very, come on, you can't talk about that four-letter word. You can't talk about that four-letter word. What four-letter word am I talking about when you talk about salvation?
Hell.
People, they get so scared and nervous to talk about this word hell when you share with people. You know, sometimes you'll come right out to people and say, do you want to get saved? Well, they're looking at you, saved from what? And we don't talk about this enough as Christians. And I don't mean to be negative tonight, but we really need to understand what this four-letter word is. And hell's not a fun place. So, by the way, Rich will be doing an in-depth study with the young adults in the next 3 weeks on hell, tons of verses. But we're going to touch on some of them tonight. And I was blown away at how many times in the Bible that it is throughout Scripture. And the fact being, I knew it was scary, but when you read it, it scared me to death. Because that's where I was. That's where I was going. So we're going to go back. We're going to start with Deuteronomy chapter 32.
Can I just make a little observation?
You can, anytime, come in, yes.
Okay, well, you know how people say that God, you know, preordained certain people to get to heaven.
Yes.
This verse that we just read sort of blows that away.
Yes.
Because he says, you know, for all men to be saved. That's
yes.
Not just picking and choosing.
Yeah. Jay, that's so, listen to me, you have destroyed Calvinism. That's what's called Calvinism.
Yeah.
You, by that verse, have destroyed anybody who thinks that way. And that's the main verse. That's so awesome, because that's the verse you guys want to go. There are tons of people, guys, understand this, that there was only a select few people that were picked to go to heaven, and God picked them before time began. That's called Calvinism. That's called predestinate. Now, let me ask you a question. This is a trick question. Does God predestinate things? Think about it when you answer it. Ken, what does God predestinate? Mm-hmm.
He predestinates all those that accept Christ as their Savior to go to heaven and be saved from their sins. I mean, that's the predestination.
He predestinates the location, correct?
Yeah, once you are saved.
But he doesn't pick you particularly to be saved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's available for all.
Okay.
In fact, God's will
is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Kind of an interjection, too, is, I'm sure all of us, whatever churches we used to go to before we discovered Right Division, I've been to classes and seminars and sermons on how to find God's will for your life.
Yes.
And none of them said, well, just read 2 Timothy 2:4.
Yes.
That's God's will for your life.
Yes.
All men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
Where do I work? Where do I live? What do I wear? That's not God's will. That's your choice. You can
yes.
make those choices. And God's will.
Yes.
Saved and get out of
life. Ken said an interesting word, not to pick on him, and this comes from here, the word accept. You don't get to heaven. You get to heaven by having faith, which in the blood of Christ alone. I'm not picking on you, said the word accept. It kind of makes my hair, little hair I have stand on end.
You and me, but.
Because the problem is that every week I accept my paycheck. Rich accepts his paycheck. Every week you guys accept your schedule.
Yeah.
Having faith in the blood is different than the word accept. So I wasn't trying to, but that's a big difference. That's not the, you know, Ken has the premises right, but it has the faith in the blood, which we'll go over. So let's go back to Deuteronomy. And I always do this with the young, who wrote Deuteronomy? Did anybody know?
God.
That's right. And who wrote the first four, five books of the Bible?
God.
Yes. All right. This is the only way you learn. You know, in business, and Rich knows this more than all of us being a teacher for how many years, Rich? 25 years.
You can stick with it, wouldn't you?
And how do kids learn, Rich, through what?
Repetition.
Repetition, repetition, repetition. Does anybody know how many days it creates to make a habit in the average person?
21.
21 days. She's been doing her study. 21 days. Now, this is not from Scripture, so I'm not. I'm just. This is a survey and the thing that it did. The average person takes 21 days to create a habit. So guess what? If we just put ourselves in the middle, we should read that verse at least 21 out of 30 days, what the will of God is, so we remember it. And then probably the next month, read it another 21 days.
Good habit to get into.
Yes, exactly. All right, so let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Justin, why don't you read verse 22.
Which is also why daily Bible study is good. Because
Amen.
After 21 days, you've got a habit of reading the Bible.
Amen.
Verse 22.
Yes.
For a fire is kindled in my anger, it shall burn its below cell, shall consume the earth. On fire, the foundation.
All right, so Justin, what do you think of that verse?
It's pretty
Now, I don't know about you, but I'm reading these today and I forgot about some of these. This scares the daylights out of me. I mean, I know where I'm going from that point, but oh my God. So do you think, guys, and again, we're going to go through 6, 7 more of these verses, and there's 50, 70 verses in the Bible that talk about hell. There's verses that talk about God's wrath, and there's verses that talk about the path of destruction, so which are hell, but I'm talking about the word hell itself. So hell is mentioned over 100 times in the Bible in one way or another. So do you think that some people who were out there, which we were those people before, would care to understand what they're being saved from? I mean, I know you said you're going to scare the daylights out of them. Well, yeah. Bring them to a verse like this. You want to get people to have reality?
Easier than finding out the other way.
Yes. Because after you die, Ken, is there another choice that you can make? You're stuck.
And there are no atheists in hell.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's no such thing as purgatory either. It's black and white.
You know? Black and white. Purgatory comes from religion. I was in that particular religion. Other ones teach it. I think you guys, the same religion, might have. Didn't. Okay, but for my religion, and again, I don't like to pick on names or anything, but the teachers are resting place and do that. Now, for Abraham's bosom, the Old Testament saints, they were in a place for a time till Christ rose again, but they were in a paradise. They weren't in hell. Okay. Let's jump to another verse. Let's go to Psalms chapter 9, verse 17. And again, I think for most people, guys, pick a verse that most hits you and maybe hits somebody. But in your mind, some of these hell verses, have them down at least one or two. And if you talk to the highly educated, which we talk to who get the wisdom of man, you might want to have 3 or 4 or 5 because they're going to want to see it a few times. But the bottom line is they can believe it doesn't exist or exist, but we know for a fact that it's in the Word of God, and I'll tell you what, we take heed to those words. So make sure they understand it. Ida, why don't you read Psalms chapter 9, verse 17.
The wicked shall be turned into hell. All the nations that forget God.
Forgot God. That's amazing. What do you think about that?
Well, this is a wonderful verse for our nation right now. Mm-hmm. What's going to do with the politicians and the coming of election. And I mean, clearly, you know, our nation has turned away from God. Not to get too political here, but
yeah.
If we don't raising up our nation. If we don't repent and humble ourselves and turn back to God, our nation, God's going to destroy us.
Yeah.
We've already seen some effects of, I think, with confession and all that, how I think people are just, you know, some people are just clueless. They just do not understand.
They don't understand.
Really.
Exactly. Now, one word I want you to key on this verse. And by the way, whose world is this now?
Satan's world.
Satan's. It's called the Prince of this world. So it's Satan's world, guys. So we can think the United States is this, that, and this. The United States was founded on Christian principles, not necessarily Christian guys. I didn't know those guys. If you read about their testimony, a couple of them could have been saved from their testimony from what I've read, but I don't know. But the bottom line, it was founded on Christian principles. But there are no, there isn't anybody running a nation or an economy or country that's based upon strictly being a Bible believer. It's just not happening. Mm-hmm. There can be some senators that are Bible believers. We do have some. There's some House of Representatives. I don't know if you guys know a woman by name is Michelle Bachmann. Mm-hmm. If you hear her testimony, I'm not getting into it, but there are people that I believe are serving that are Christians. And that, again, we need to pray for all these people because the more our country deals in human good, the easier it is for us to get this message as we're studying in the message. We don't need to think, and again, Rich and I will talk about hope and faith tomorrow, but this election, you know, I get caught up in everything else, but our hope, our eternity is spent with Jesus Christ in heaven. We need to always remember that. So this part right here, it says the wicked. Remember the wicked. Just remember that later on in our study right now, the word wicked. Because when I share that with people, they'll go, oh, God, Barry, that son of Sam, that guy who killed his mother and a guy. Hey, that's the wicked. Just remember that before we go down to this thing, little thing called the road to Romans, who the wicked really is.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so let's jump to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. Jenna, why don't you read verse 20?
Hell and destruction are never full, for the eyes of man are never satisfied.
What does that tell you, Jenna? Can hell take a bunch more people?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that? That's pretty intense. That's pretty intense. So we got to think to ourselves, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Man is in sad shape. And I'll tell you, there's not one good word about hell doing all that. And we're going to get to, in a minute, I'll ask the question, who created hell? But the bottom line is that hell and destruction. So he combines those words. What I shared with the young adults last week is the fact, the worst thing that's ever happened to you, and I know, for our family and certain things, it probably is the death of a family member. Something along those lines. It could be a case of being held at gunpoint, being raped. It could be there's some horrible things happening. But whatever is the most horrible thing that's ever happened to you personally or you've ever heard about, hell is a million, million times worse. Because it's not like you suffer for a short amount of time when these things happen. I know that my family, especially my wife and kids, through what I've been in our deaths, the only thing that keeps us going is the Word of God. And knowing that we're going to spend eternity, especially with some of the people who have died that we know are believers, that's a wonderful thing that you're going to see them again. That's our hope. That's our hope. All right, so let's jump over to another verse. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10.
You know, like, God wants everybody to say, but hell's big enough for plenty of room. It's kind of weird. Like, you
know, it is. Yeah. And Rich, when you read that verse, let's say, and it's not going to happen because God said there will be faithful people, but let's say the faithful people, and I'm not implying this at all, only in this room, is hell big enough to fit the rest of the world? Yeah. Because it's not just fitting the rest of the world. Remember, there was all these people who died for the past, how old is the earth approximately? Guys? 6,000. Great job, Jen. It's a nice thing to know because you get
come from hell.
Now he's talking about
sure.
That we're made of three pieces: body, soul, spirit. We're going to get a new body, Thank God for Ken and I, but we're going to get a new body. You'll still be as good looking, okay?
It will be heaven.
Yeah, because you're there.
Yeah.
Anyway, but what's awesome about your soul and your spirit is who you are. You know, so when I talk about, you know, that's to humble us. I really, anyway, so the fact being is that I love my wife together. Friends, with your family. You got nothing to lose.
I can kill you.
Yeah.
For an eternity then of a painful.
Yes. And they won't be looking at you in heaven. Gosh darn it, Ken. Why? Faith coming. By hearing. And hearing. Ambassador. Life, you'll find through, I saw doors, people, oh, reading things, thinking about things, oh, I'm going to hell. We go to church, I hear the blood of Christ. I believe that. So when I both believe that, we get saved. It was instantaneous, just a second. The bottom line is, I was scared. That's a fact. Wilf Walsh says, this is the one that most preachers go on and people go on, but we're going to go to Luke chapter 16.
In that Matthew verse, what connection your mind should make when you hear serpent?
And you're thinking, amen. And you're thinking, Satan, right in the garden.
The bird, yeah.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. But like Katie said, it's hard for me when I hear about this story of Adam and Eve, that serpent. Well, I'm not a serpent. I mean, it's hard for me to picture myself as a serpent. That's why that verse, even though they're talking about the Pharisees who, if we were, Jews, could have been us, the high righteous Pharisees, the bottom line, that's a real hard word for people to go, I'm not a serpent. I mean, I hear all the time from our family, we're good enough. We're not part of those people. We're not part of this. You hear it all the time. I said that for 29 years. Okay? I said that I was good enough. Okay? And that's where God had to hit home. Going, dude, you're wretched as all of the rest of them.
You're looking at
and we're going to start off, and this is the rich man and Lazarus. So let me make sure I started us off with the right, and Rich can tell me because he's starting. Hold on. Yeah, there was a certain man. Okay, Rich, so you're going to read 19 through 25, and Syl's going to read 27 through 31, and you're both going to tell me what you think
about.
What
about 26?
You said. Oh, sorry. 26 through 31. I skipped one.
Hi.
So 19 25?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented.
Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
All right, so I'm going to let, Syl, you start. What do you think about some of that stuff that's happening there?
Well, it's free. I think, just from him, 1 second, please, because it's so sad. And he's like family to know.
We're going. And the bottom line is, you have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have the Almighty God. You have the circles doing one, telling you who he is. Every prophecy coming true about him in the Old Testament, him preaching, him coming at the exact time. We can go through all. There was hundreds.
Fingers in the holes in his body.
Half the prophecies, guys, this is nice to know for the super educated people that Todd Mark Luke were fulfilled in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Rich did a great sermon on the number, right on the money. But these are great, not science. God made science. He's the one who has science, except he skipped the theory part. There ain't no theories with God. Science. You got to have a theory first, then you go to a fact.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to deal with. The fact about this hell part, guys, the people you talk to, most people, are going to die and burn and be tormented in hell. That's fact. And we should be excited that we get to share something that they don't have to be. They don't have to go to this place. They can be free. And so what if they think about themselves? That's what God did. He made the law to think about sin ourselves. Well, we need a Savior. You know, it can't just be all life's about everything, everybody but me. Well, that's selfish in itself, because you want all the credit and you want all the other things to go with it. We are selfish people. That's who we are. We have flesh. So God knows that. So what did he do? He catered to that. He goes, you're selfish, you're prideful, you're stupid, so I'm going to give you a real easy. I'm going to reach out with this lifeline. I'm going to reach out and say, it's free, guys. It's free. All right, so now we've talked about the hell part. One quick verse in here. Who made hell? Does anybody know who made hell, and who can take me to a verse that shows who made hell?
Genesis 1:1.
Okay, now you're assuming.
God made everything.
Okay, but wait. Genesis 1:1 doesn't
say hell.
Say hell, but you need to give me a verse that says he created all things. What verse does anybody know a verse in Paul's epistles? Anywhere God?
God created all things.
Colossians chapter. Yes, it's Colossians. Hold on, 1:20. No, hold on a second here. Yes, he made all. There was two or three verses, but let me find it. I'm sorry, guys. There was. That's why I need your help right here. That's no excuse. There you go, Justin. Great job. See, the young, they got their Bible. Colossians 1:16. And Justin, you are, as soon as we all get there, because we're not that fast right now. Colossians 1:16. Great verse, Justin. This is a verse, guys, that you want to know. And this verse also proves it's part of, I know Justin's written out a paper. He's trying to do a study on Trinity, which is awesome. If people know the Trinity. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. This verse will help you in that, by the way, when you read that. But anyway, go ahead, Justin.
So by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Okay, so what does it tell you about hell, Justin?
Well, everything was created by him.
So then we need to go to, so hell had to have been created by the Lord. So people say, God, Barry, you worship a ugly, rapid. No, I worship a God who's a God of justice. And a God who is a God of chances. And a God who doesn't want me to go to that place. And he sent his only son. Listen to me, we talk about loving each other, and we talk about doing that. The ultimate love for anybody in whole mankind is what God sent his son to die for us. That is the love. That's how much he loved us. And the bottom line is, he doesn't want us to go there. But Ken, why did he create hell then?
Because he knew what was going to happen.
Okay, so what is it? Why? Okay, so but what, he's just. You guys are going to have. But what did it also imply? Adam and Eve in the garden had a what? Yes, they had a choice. Great job. They have a choice. So God is saying, I made two places. How easy is that? You're driving on the freeway. God goes, either take the 5 north or the 5 south. I want to go north to heaven. South to you guys. That's how easy it is. We make this out to be so difficult. And religion tangles it up doing this deed and that deed, good enough, command, accept, doing this. And God says, guys, you're so full of yourselves. I made it easy. And now, as you're talking to the person, my four young people here, young adults, where do I take that person? We've been studying it. Where do I take that person now? The where? The road?
Romans.
The Romans. That's where we're going to go now. Let's go to the road to Romans.
I used to think, you know, just because I was somebody's friend and nice to them and kind of, you know, they knew I was a Christian, I always think that was enough so they would figure out. But you have to use the words of the Bible. You just can't just
come around to.
Well, I went to these other churches thinking the same thing. Because you're there, you think somehow they'll change. It doesn't change a thing. You have to use God. And when you start using it, people start getting upset. It's like, oh, I should have known this all along.
Yeah.
And you realize what's the fact of the thing you need to make the issue is God's word, and then they'll see
the Bible. Rich, you guys hear that? Everybody hear that over? The whole thing is about the word of God. And he is. That's why I say God gives you wisdom. The wisdom that I've heard tonight is the wisdom in God's wisdom. Paul didn't change his. Paul was in the words. Jesus, give me the words. Gave him the words. Said it. Okay, you can call him a robot, whatever you wanted to do, but he was the apostle. He was our apostle. He was given something in Romans that we're going to study real quick here. How to get to heaven. He was given that information. He didn't go in there, God, you know what? I don't like Romans 3:10. Can I change those words? Or you know what? I'll see how Barry's doing today, that horrible Gentile he is. I'll go, hey, you know I'm part of this group. Is that good enough for you? No, he's going to go, Barry, what are you doing, dude? You're going to go burn in hell. Here's the verse, Deuteronomy, Psalms, Proverbs, Matthew. You're going to burn in hell. Is that what you want? I mean, he was real direct, guys. We talk about, don't mince words with people. Now, I know that I got that triple ink, and I understand. You guys have some of you, like, still just that, has that exciting, but people listen to it better. I understand that. And I think that I intimidate and do that. But it's who your personality is.
Timothy Titus.
Yeah, Timothy Titus. What I'm saying is whoever you are in Christ, you can be the most quiet person. The five words you say, read Romans 3:10 forward. Whatever it is. How many words you say? I can't count.
Read.
Yeah, okay, read Romans. But what I'm saying is that, like Rich says, give people something to what? Chew on. Give people something to think about.
Well,
okay?
And the word is your shield. Because if you're talking to somebody using your words, they'll argue with you.
Yes.
When you're using, and Amen. John and you have seen it, when you're using this word, they don't argue with me. They are, wait, I'm just reading the word. If you have an argument, argue with the word. Don't
Amen.
Argue with me. So it protects you from discouragement, attack. And it's a lot easier to go out and preach the word.
Yeah, and what does he say to share the gospel in meekness? Now, that doesn't. Don't excuse the word meekness with boldness. Because God uses both words. Kind of word. He uses be bold, and yet he says be meek. Amen. Yes. And the meek is the humbleness to go, you know what? You got an issue? Catch it. Talk to God about it. I didn't write the book. But don't be ashamed. You know, I get nervous when I say that to people. Hey, argue with God. But I don't want to say it in a way where they think like, oh, just the heck with it. Say it in a way where you go, hey, that's God. You know, you got an argument. I don't want to argue with God. You argue with God. Make it where you show that respect for God. Because I think that I said it before. People go, they're saying just argue with God. Like it doesn't, you know, just be careful. You know, I say that. I'm saying it to myself because I have the problem with that. But the bottom line is you want people to just remember. You want people that met Sarah, Jenna, Amanda, Justin, Ida, all of us here. God, Rich gave me, told me to look at verse 3:10. Give them God's purpose. You want to give them something, you know, just to think about, give them God's purpose. If you want, you know, I'm not saying walk up to somebody, go Deuteronomy 32, 22, see if you want to burn in hell. I'm not saying come out and do that, but I'm saying as people talk to you, if you say the word saved, anybody, and I said this as a non-Christian, saved from what? Well, Barry, you just want to be saved. I had people that wouldn't even talk about hell. Never. I've never been approached by a Christian who say the word hell.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
There's books and books about it. It just means you're separated from God. It has nothing to do with the torture that we know. It's like, why? It's such water. So
you feel like an 1800 Baptist.
Yes.
You're going to hell.
Yes.
Fire and fury and damnation. And the
yes. And what do you see the street corner preacher in? Thank God for street corner preachers. Thank God for them. Because how many people have the courage to stand on a corner to be safe and to do that? Kind of crazy, especially in L.A. I know sometimes they're preaching the wrong thing. But I got to give them credit that they have the boldness to do it. These guys at Walmart, I encourage every one of you. I have shared with at least 4 different people. I have shared the gospel with at least 3 different people. They don't know anything about why they're doing out there. It's sad. These people are open. They were told, hey, bring a box for our church. We'll do this. They have a Bible out. It's open. They got one scripture they told them to read. You know what's sad about it is? It's sad about it that these preachers and people teaching are grasping and grabbing these people and just molding them and just having them believe. And the guy said to me, Barry, I don't want to go out here so I don't go to hell. I mean, I was like dumbfounded. He goes, I got to be a good person. Well, your pastor's not even teaching you the right thing. I go, you want to have something free? Believe this. Tears get in his eyes, and I go, have faith in the blood. That's all I got to do. And that's all you have to do. And what I'm saying is it's not your job to change his heart. It's not your job. And when those words pierce, what does it say about the Bible, about the Word of God? Hebrews chapter 2. Let's read. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews real quick. Chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's think about what the Word of God does to these people. And then we'll end up, I need a few more minutes, Dan, so we'll end up with back to Romans. Let's talk about the Word of God. And like Ken and Rich and all you guys are mentioning, put the Word of God, it's your sword. Read your armor chapter in Ephesians, it's your sword. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Dan, you want to read that verse?
For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Wow. That's a, Justin, I know you love swords, dude. That is a cool sword. That sword, and listen to me, that sword works on believers and non-believers, because if it didn't, then nobody could be saved. Remember, the Holy Spirit is around us. Once you're saved, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Okay? There's going to be a time where that Spirit of God's taken out. We're going to be raptured. That's the scariest time of all because that Spirit is going there. It'd be so hard to believe and not take the mark and doing those things. But that Word of God goes, pierces into you, even as a believer. You know, you're reading the verse, you go, oh God, it convicts you or it comforts you. And it does both in the same verse. Oh God, you know, study to show itself, be quiet. Oh God, I should have kept my mouth. You know, all these things happen when you read, right? We've all been there. Put the foot in the mouth. You know, or said something or done things, we've all been there. So the bottom line is, but that unbeliever, when he's open, that unbeliever, we all remember back when we were saved, the Word of God, it opened, what does it talk about? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. You can stab somebody, Ken, as we were talking about the body, somebody can stab you and kill you. That sword didn't go to the soul and spirit. It didn't. It just killed that body. What does the Word of God do? It goes to the soul and spirit. What does a person have to do? It opens them up. It makes them open. What does Satan try to do with the gospel? The light, he tries to make it dark. But the gospel shines through because that sword is the eventual sword that's going to kill Satan himself. Think about that. That sword that you just read about will crush Satan himself.
The word.
The word. And all God has to do is say the word and he's dead. He already knows he's dead. Think about the team you're on right now. You're on the winning team. Okay. That's right, team. Yeah. Not Team Jacob in this Twilight stuff, team this. I know you guys all love that. What about Team Jesus? Okay, that's it. Silver, good point. Yeah, that's Team Jesus. That's right. And we are. And it's about the blood of Christ. Okay? It's about who we are in Christ. So let's go real quick back to Romans. This is the gospel. This is where I want everybody, and I know most of you know it way better than me, go understand the road to Romans. Okay? And for a synopsis, I'm going to let Rich just quick tell me what's happening in chapter 1, Rich. God gave up on who?
On Gentiles.
Gentiles. And then, Ken, who did God give up in chapter 2?
Did God give up?
Yeah, he gave up the Gentiles in 1. And then 2, he gave up the Jews. Okay. And then 3, he put it all together. And again, these are little things that you can come up. I know 1 gives up the Gentiles, 2 gives up the Jews. I didn't memorize one verse. But I know that that's where those verses are. Where it teaches about that. So then I can go to somebody, have a highlighter, go, hey, why don't you read these 3 verses? Because it's real easy to find stuff once you get to the chapter. Heck, if I tell you a chapter, within 10 seconds you can find anything that we want to know about it. They're not long chapters. All right, so let's go to Romans chapter 3. And we're going to go around the table, starting with Dan, and read verse 10. And I want everybody to read, and we're going to stop at 23. Okay, and this is what the road is called, the road to Romans. This is a short version, but this is stuff that people need to read so they need to understand what they're being saved from. We talked about hell. Right here is where you want to take people. Right here is where they want to read. So go ahead, man.
Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God.
Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Yeah, with their tongues they have been deceived, with an act under their lips.
17, and the way of peace have they not known.
Oh my God. 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes.
19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
You know, the righteousness of God without the law manifested, being with the law and the prophets.
Even righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference.
Sir? Okay, so Dan, what do you think about those verses right there?
Sometimes I use them if somebody on the internet gives me a bad time.
Oh, you read those too and think of them and they and those as all those people way back in you know Jesus' day. And
yes.
So, oh, what a terrible group of people those were. Oh,
yes.
And then all of a sudden you start. Oh, wait a second.
That's me.
I might know something, people. Yes. They might be a little closer than I think.
Before they start getting in the really detail right here, verse 10 is a key that I share with people because all the rest will say, oh, their throat, I have never cursed, I don't have bitterness. They'll go on all this. How do they get over verse 10? It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Yeah. Well, the link to that one is James 2:10.
Which says,
if you break one commandment, you've broken them all.
Why don't you write that down? What's the verse 10?
James 2:10.
James 2:10.
You know, a lot better than my neighbor.
Write that down in your Bibles. That's awesome. See, these little things that were, I love this. This is it. But the bottom line is, when you're talking with these guys, they say, hey, are you saved? Or let me talk to you about the Lord. And you say, hey, all this terrible's happened in Libya. And, hey, you know what? You know what's great news? I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? Well, I'm saved. From what? What are you talking about? What's this hell thing? Well, here's a verse, Deuteronomy. Here's a verse, Matthew. Here's a verse. Have them read you the verse. All of a sudden, they get scared. They get nervous. They say, well, how do I know I'm going there? Well, then you go to Romans 3:10. Nobody's righteous. You're born and you're going to go. Again, there's a baby issue. There's another thing. To an age of understanding. In other words, a baby is not going to tell you the show. They didn't get to an age of understanding. We'll go over that one study. And that's a great situation. We're going to do that with young adults. I'm talking about people coming to the age of understanding, which generally is a very young age, 2, 3, 4. Usually people are at that age. Your pathway is starting on the I-5 South. It's going to hell. Okay? That's where you're going. Okay, God sent his son to die on the cross. And you have to do what? Next two verses. We're going to hell, these people we're talking to. We were going to hell, and what saved us? Justin, go ahead and read 24 and 25.
He justified freely by his grace the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth in propitiation through faith in his blood.
Okay. The gospel is in two places in your in today's. There's plenty of places in the Bible. We all know. 24 and 25, 25, faith in his blood, and where? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Okay, let's go read those, and then let's talk about what we just read, faith in his blood, and that. That's your gospel. Okay? That's it. But let's go to Corinthians chapter 15. Ida, you start. You read verse 1. Jenna, Amanda, and Katie, catch chapter 15. This is verses. If you want to memorize, start with something. These verses. If you want to make sure you know where it is, know where these verses. If you know the road to Romans, chapter 3, and you know this, you can talk to about 90% of the people without getting too deep. Can you share this one? That's it. I'm asking you to understand the health thing because I'm taking it from my point of view and who I was before that I asked a thing. I'm not going, how do you know there's a hell? Where are we going? A lot of people don't believe in a heaven or hell. You got to start with the bad because they're not heading to heaven anyway. Start with the bad because you got good news. You know, it's a sales guy. He starts with this and he's got the zinger at the end, right? Because what happens is you go in, tell him, hey, it's terrible. Yeah, he'll bring up the, yeah. Yeah, that's true. They reverse it. Anyway, okay, so let's go. I think you start. 15, you read it verse 1, and we'll go around the table.
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. For in which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in him. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I have also preached, which I also preached, that Christ died for us and before the Jews. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures.
Right there. God died, Jesus Christ, he is God, died, buried, and rose again. And what do we read in Romans? Faith in his blood. It says blood washed for sin. There's your gospel. It's never been more simple. It's God's words. All those we just repeated. Okay? All this other stuff that we talk about, altar call, accept, commit, turn your life around, do all these things. Those aren't even right, even when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have to read them correctly to understand that. But besides that, don't get entangled in all that because let them show. Have one person ask you, oh, I commit my life to Christ. Show me that verse. It's not in your scripture. Okay? So the bottom line is that let, like Rich and Ken, let the Word of God stand on its own. That was the purpose. The armor is supposed to work. Your sword. You lead with your sword. We're in a battle, guys. You don't lead a battle sitting out there with your sword here. You're standing, you got your sword. Every day you fight with the sword.
Don't be happy.
Yeah, don't be happy. So the bottom line is, be ready. But that sword, what's on your feet? The preparation, it talks about peace. Your feet having shod with the preparation of the peace. There is love in the gospel. Okay? But in that love, you've got to give them the sword. And they may not think it's love when you start telling them about hell. But that's the best thing you could ever tell them. Because if they don't realize that, they're going to burn forever. And there's nothing you or I can do about it. Either way, there's nothing you can do about it. You got nothing to lose, guys. You lose all your friends. I'll say this. You lose all your family. Because you got Jesus. And you're going to spend eternity with him. And thank God, you're not going to lose all your family. Because you got believers. We are your family. You got believers right here. That's why it's so important that our ministry, and I thank God for our ministry. I know all you do. The few people we got, and whoever we got in the ministry, the people who have come to Bible studies, we thank God for these people. We need to encourage one another, and we need to fight the fight together. Because listen to me, no matter how small or big we are, and the world's 1,000 times bigger, we got God on our side. And guess what? God won. It's nice fighting this war that you don't have to fight. All you got to do is participate. All you got to do is say, God, today I'm an ambassador. Make a decision today. I'm an ambassador. Put on your armor and go share. In order to share, though, you got to know something about this book. Yes, it's great. And the simplicity is in Christ. I've talked to people, you guys when they were younger. Our girls got saved real young. I know Rich Davis, man, you guys got saved real young. You can share with people. My kids believe in Jesus. You're 3, 4 years old. You look at them. I said the word hell. I wasn't afraid to tell my 3 and 4 year kids the word hell. I go, it's a bad place. I didn't go to torment. I described it a simple way. Do you want to go to a bad place? No, I want to go to a good place. So this is what Jesus did for you. So you can go, oh, I believe that. That's how, why can't we all think like kids? If you put a 3-year-old in front of you and say, hell, burning this and this, he's God. He made you. And he said, believe that his blood took away you being anything bad about you. He goes, I want that. What kid's going to say no to that? What kid's going to say? Jenna, even the kids in the Middle East, they get trained. You know what age from? 2 years old to hate infidels. They hate people. Their grasp of hating, which is so much harder to hate and have bitterness against people than it is to love people, they are ready 2, 3, 4 years old have learned so much about hating us. Imagine how easy it would be about seeing the love of Christ by knowing what he did on the cross. So anyway, this is what we got to just bet on. This is what it is. You know, I'm not teaching you guys to gamble, but it's not. You've already won.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have bet on it, Ken, because it takes faith in something. It took faith in that blood to save you. And for 1 second, all of us at the table did that. And too bad, if you don't want it anymore, you're saved anyway. Nobody is going to get out of the love of Christ, Romans 8:20. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. All right? So great study tonight. What's the verse? And I forgot it. We're going to end with you. What's our new verse now? Can we tell it? We can all say it together?
No, we can't.
You know what? Before
we're
we say
that to John,
before we say the verse, I'm going to let Rich close us in a word of prayer, and then right after the prayer, we're going to say, "Would you Colossians 2:13? 2:3. Hold on a second. Let's all get there. Okay, and Rich is going to say a prayer, and then we're going to close with that.
Colossians
2:3. Yeah, let's pray. Father, thanks for this time together tonight. Appreciate Barry and Sol up in their home. Barry's passion for the scripture just gets us all excited. It's really fun to be involved in the study where you can open your word and it doesn't have to be dry and boring. It can be really exciting. We think about how the battle is already won. We can just participate, as you said, and it's really, really relaxing and comforting to know that your word just makes so much sense and we can share that with other people too, so you have that same thing. So help us to take it this week and to share it with people, and we look forward to the service tomorrow. We just appreciate the folks in this room and your commitment to your word. Help us to just take that and make that part of our minds as well.
Amen. All right, what are we here in?
Colossians 2:3.
Go ahead.
In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge?
Is that our wives?
Might be yours.